You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here
God
is
bless you.
Sherry
Thank you
Medlock.
To my new announcer, Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verse 28, where we left off last time. Mark, chapter 12, verse 28. Jesus is being questioned by the phony priesthood, the scribes and Pharisees, government appointed and man appointed, but not God appointed. And we like to call them scriptural lawyers. Now, as you grow in Christ and as you witness, you're going to be confronted with scriptural lawyers. First of all, they nitpick at the scripture. They don't know it well enough to know the heart of God, but they will take some little verse out of context or some little word and throw it back in your face and then tell you that you are a false prophet. Now, I want you to know that this is what Jesus was having to put up with, and that's why we should love him all the more. A scriptural lawyer is not interested in you knowing God or knowing the scripture. They're trying to trick you up so they can get you out of their hair. Let me give you an example of what Jesus was going through, because you may face this. I have faced this. Here's an example. There is a word in the New Testament that is used very often, and even in the Old Testament. It's cloud, C-L-O-U-D. Now, when I say that word, most of you think of up there, cumulus and nimbus and stratus and cirrus and all of that fluffy little clouds. Usually in the Bible, it doesn't mean that at all. Sometimes it does, but most of the time, it's an Hebrew idiom, and it often means a crowd. Like Paul talks about a cloud of dust, but he means that we're all in a foot race, and with our feet running in the dirt, because he didn't have paved roads, it gets a cloud of dirt. A crowd makes a cloud of dirt, is what it means. And when Jesus says in 1 Thessalonians, we'll be caught up in the air, in the clouds, it means in the crowd around Jesus. But people misunderstand that. Now, if you're a scriptural lawyer trying to find something wrong with the speaker or the teacher, you'll go to your concordance and cloud will, yes, say cloud. It's not going to say it also means crowd or this or that or the other, because it's just a cloud. But that's where you would have to be more than a scriptural lawyer. You would have to know God's word, that you would know that it's a Hebrew idiom. Just like in America, we have figures of speech, paint the town red. You know perfectly well that doesn't mean to go get some paint and paint the town red. You'd really be in trouble. It means you're going to go out and have a good time, right? So see, scriptural lawyers take it literally and they try to trick you. And that's what Jesus was up against. But I wanted to caution you too. Don't let them throw you. Stick with your gun. Stick with the word of God. And you'll outsmart them every time. Most of the thing, I just figure I'll outlast them. I may not outsmart them, but I'll outlast them. I'm still standing. Most of them have fallen. Or they're going to fall, that's for sure. Now, last week, some of these scribes and Pharisees came to Jesus with a silly story. Now, it is in God's book that he wants each tribe's seed line to continue. And so they said, this woman married this man and left no seed, and he died. And then she married his brother right on down the line. Seven brothers, no seed, no children. They died, and then she died. So they said, whose wife is she going to be in the eternity? Now, first of all, they're trying to trick Jesus. They're Sadducees. They don't believe in life after death. And Jesus says, you do err. You don't even know the scriptures. In heaven, we're like the angels. We don't marry nor given in marriage. Angels, children of God, minus the flesh. So he put them to silence. Now we're going to watch them try another tactic. And one of the scribes came And having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well. Okay, the scribes were there. Jesus was in the temple. These scribes and Pharisees are the phony church leaders. And this one particular one, this one, he doesn't get a name, but he's listening to all of this, and he says, goodness, Jesus sure is smart. He can outsmart their tricks. Ask him, which is the first commandment of all? Now, that's a trick question. Little does he know that Emmanuel, God with us, is standing right there in a flesh body, that the one who took his fiery hand and wrote with his finger the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai on a fiery tablet and gave it to Moses is standing before him. There are Ten Commandments. The scribe knows this, and he knows that Jesus knows this. And if God gives Ten Commandments, every commandment is important. You understand? So Jesus is between Pharaoh and the deep red sea, because he can't override God's word, which says to obey all of the commandments. Now, let me give you those Ten Commandments briefly. You may find them in Exodus 20. Number one, God has said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. I am your God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's number one. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor bow thyself down to it, like a car or a boat or something like that, or a television set or a cell phone. And number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain, for God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. In Trumpet of Truth, we have learned, Revelation 19:13, that in vain means empty vanity, and that God's name is called the Word of God. In other words, you're breaking the commandment if you go and get empty words. See, you're responsible for what you hear. If you get Beth Aven, you go to the house of emptiness, you are responsible to take drink deep of the Word of God. Otherwise, you take it in vain, emptiness. And then the fourth one is to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God created heaven and earth, a six-day creation. On the seventh day, he said it was good. Seventh day, he rested, and he called it the Sabbath. And God means for you, Colossians 2, Jesus nailed the Sabbath to the cross. Now, every day is the Sabbath, so the commandment says to be holy every day. You don't just be holy on Sunday or Saturday, whichever is your regular Sabbath. You're holy every day. And then the other is honor thy father and thy mother. Now, these are the first five commandments, and all of these deal with your relationship to God. This is spiritual. This is your relationship to God. So, now let me tell you the other five, okay? First of all, they are, thou shalt do no murder. It'll say, thou shalt not kill. It's fiance, which means murder. Don't lie in wait. Don't plot to murder someone. It is not talking about if someone breaks into your home and you have to discharge your weapon and they get killed because you're protecting your family, or if you're fighting in a war. But he's talking about where you plot murder. Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. God relates adultery to idolatry. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Don't go around telling lies on people, meaning thou shalt not lie. Better tell that to politicians. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house or anything he's got. Don't be envious of others. Be glad. These last five deal with your relationship to man. Now remember this. The first five deal with what? Your relationship to God. The last five deal with what? Your relationship to man. So with this, the scribe, knowing this, he's going to try to trick Jesus. Now, Jesus, we've got you backed in a corner. How are you going to get out of this? How are you going to know which one is more important?
29, and Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. 30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart.
Love the Lord thy God.
Mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.
That's the first one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This means 24 hours a day in everything you do. Even as you work, you multitask, as you tend to your family, whatever you do, you're loving the Lord.
31, and the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.
Jesus is so smart. If Jesus had left out one commandment there, they would have said, who do you think you are? God wrote the commandments and all 10 are important. That was the trick. Well, what Jesus did is, when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, he covered the first five. See, because if you love God with all your heart, you're not going to make graven images. You're not going to, you are going to keep the Sabbath holy. You will be holy every day. You're even going to honor your mother and father, even if they were bad parents, because at least there was some DNA that you needed from them. And you're not going to take his name in vain. And then the last one, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, some of you say, but I don't love myself. Yes, you do. Every time your tummy says growl, you go feed it because you love it. Yes, you do. Don't hand me that poor little me stuff. Of course you love yourself. And in other words, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And if you do the last five, you love your neighbors yourself, you wouldn't steal, you wouldn't lie behind them, you wouldn't talk about them and gossip behind their back. That's what it means. Don't talk about them behind their back. Don't cut them behind their back. And don't envy what they've had. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't murder them. Now, here's what's so brilliant about Jesus. I'm into Jesus, aren't you?
Yep.
Here's what's so brilliant about Jesus. The truth is, if we just did the first one he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and with all thy might. If we did that, we would automatically keep all 10 commandments. Jesus says, by this men shall know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. In other words, love thy neighbor as thyself. You see your neighbor, you put yourself in that situation, and you go and fix that if you can. That doesn't mean you're the Holy Spirit. Some things can only be fixed by the Holy Spirit. But you see, if you really loved God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you would love your neighbor as yourself. You would never deliberately gossip or lie, go behind somebody's back or hurt them. And you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't steal. And you would love God all the time. Basically, there's just one commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, thy strength, thy soul, thy heart, thy spirit, everything you've got, give it that. And the rest will fall into place.
Amen. Amen.
As Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's not stuff, Rolls Royces. You might get that. God is good. He does bless. He does make rich. But he's talking about the things that are important, the things that matter, the things so that you can fulfill the destiny and be a blessing to God and a blessing to mankind.
Amen.
Not such
Amen.
A blessing to yourself all the time.
32. And the scribes said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth.
Look at this. This scribe, who was going to try to trick him, Jesus is wiser than serpents and harmless as doves. I mean, he got it right. Listen to this scribe now.
For there is one God, and there is none other than he. And to love him with all thy heart, and with all thy understanding, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.
Listen to this scribe. Can you believe this? He was there to trick Jesus, and Jesus witnessed to him, and now the scribe doesn't want to leave. He wants to engage Jesus in the conversation. The word is more powerful than a two-edged sword. It pierces between the joints and marrow, between the soul and the spirit. The truth of the word went into that scribe, that phony priest, and he heard it, and it was truth. He is now being converted. He doesn't want to go leave and run like the rest of them. He wants to stay with Jesus. He wants to learn more. So as you witness to people and you recognize those who are just you're throwing your pearl before swine, and they're just doing it just to trick you. But then when you see someone that you've sown a beautiful truth seed of God's word to them, and they turn around and they ask you a question, or they start talking to you about what you just said, don't run, stay. Now watch, this is your teaching. This is how you do it. You always wonder, do I tell them some more? If they're interested, tell them some more. I tell them until they say, I can't take any more. I probably choke them, but in other words, feed them until they don't want any more. So he's asking for more. This is how you know. Did they ask you a question? Did they comment? Or did they say, that's good. Okay, I got to run. Then you know they didn't get it. But this one is interested. Now, here's how Jesus handles it. So the scribe's still there. He's still in the synagogue. He's going to teach some more. So he gives them some more. He says, let's go a little deeper. Let's just say that you've just told them about the Nephilim, the fallen angels. Then you say, let's just go a little deeper. Let's go to the garden. Let's see what that fruit was.
34, and when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God.
Such a compliment for Jesus to say to him. In other words, you came to me to trick me, but the word touched your heart. The word changes everything when received. I'll tell you, you stay with the word of God, Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, book, chapter, verse, and line. With a sincere heart, let the Holy Spirit enlighten you. Your life will change. One day you won't even be a part of what you used to be. You'll be a brand new creation. The word forms you there. And Jesus says you're not far from the kingdom. And see, when you witness to someone and then they begin to turn, your spirit will say, "Ooh, this person is about to get converted." So then you want to give them some more. It might even be the time for you to say, "Are you saved? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? May I pray for you to be saved?" We can settle that right now. I've done it many times. You do it too.
And no man after that durst ask him any question.
They couldn't outsmart him, so much for that.
35, and Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that the Christ is the son of David?
So he's going to give them food for thought. This is not groupthink. This is you going to put on your thinking cap, scribes. How does David call Messiah his son?
36, for David himself said by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies my footstool.
Jesus is quoting Psalm 110. We'll be there soon on Wednesday night. And that's what it says. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The first Lord is God the Father, Yahweh. And the second Lord is Jesus the Son, Yahweh's Savior. This was after Jesus' ascension. David saw this and prophesied it and wrote it over 1,000 years before it actually happened. Now, how is the enemy going to be Jesus' footstool? When Jesus said, it is finished, and he went back to heaven, God said, like Jeb Clampett, sit a spell. So Jesus sat down on the throne. He's resting. It's finished. He finished his work. That was a finished work. He did a complete work at Calvary. The sins are all washed away if you'll accept it. But how is his enemy going to be the footstool? That's where you come in, the very elect. Soon and very soon, the Antichrist shall appear instead of Christ, calling himself God's Savior. The world will call him God. Half of the body of Christ will call him Jesus because they do not know the scriptures and they do not know the order of the trumps. By the way, next week in Mark 13, we're going to give you the seven seals, the seven trumps, and the seven vials. You'll think I'm teaching Revelation. And they do not know that, and they're going to call him Jesus. And those of us who will not be deceived, the very elect, will be delivered up to him, the Antichrist. And Luke 12 tells us, do not premeditate what you're going to say. Don't practice. Let the Holy Spirit speak through you what he will. And he said, and then the gospel shall be heard throughout the world. Satan will be exposed for the fake that he is. And then, of course, that in itself puts the enemy under Jesus' feet. You know, we really have the power over the enemy now. He's already under our feet. We just don't exercise the authority enough.
Amen. 37, David himself, therefore, calleth him Lord. And whence then he is he son?
Okay, so how can David call Jesus the Lord, which is God, and how can he call him his son? Because in the physical, it was through the genealogy of David, that is the key of David, that right on down through David's son Nathan, not Solomon. Most everybody thinks it would be Solomon because he was so wise. No, it's David's other son Nathan. Umbilical cord to umbilical cord came the pure seed line of the tribe of Judah down through Mary. Mary's father was named Heli, and he was of the tribe of Judah. There's the king line. And Jesus came forth from a woman's seed. Mary's mother was of the tribe of Levi, so that's the priesthood. So Jesus is priest and king. So that's how David could do that. It was through his genealogy in the flesh that Jesus came. But Jesus is God, is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is Lord. Amen. And so he explains this to the church leaders. It's a pretty deep question, but they are interested now. Isn't it wonderful when the people in the pulpit get interested in the depth of God's word? Alexander Pope said to drink deep or not at all of the Pierian springs. A little learning is a dangerous thing. Drink deep or not at all.
The common people heard him gladly.
The common people heard him gladly. The elite, the leaders in the church there, they wanted those people to serve them and give them their money and give them their service, just like the politicians and the government want us to do that now. At least the old swamp crew, that's what they want. They don't care about what the people want, except we've had we've sort of had an evolution, a revolution, I guess you might say, that we've finally got us a leader that cares about the little person.
38, and he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace. 39, and the chief seats in the synagogue.
Okay. Watch out for those scribes and Pharisees. They wore beautiful gowns and mitres on their head, and they would have pomegranates and bells on their costumes. They would go out into the marketplace, and the people would say, oh, Rabbi, Rabbi, you're so wise, you're so great. And they would just go out there, and they would be so adulated. They loved the fame. They loved the praise of their position. Beware of them, says Jesus. If you're in this for fame or praise, you better get out.
And the utmost rooms at feast.
They want to be first. They want to sit on the stage. They want to be the main speaker. They don't want to sit on the back of the row.
40, which devour widows' houses.
Just like Eli, one of the priests, his two sons, Phinehas and Hophni, they were trying to seduce the women. The women would come in to worship the Lord, and then they would seduce them. Well, you know, that still goes on in the church. We hear of pedophile with the priest and so forth. Many of the evangelists who've run away with the church secretary and everything. So watch out for that. We're supposed to be holy.
And for a pretense, make long prayers.
Okay. Now, make long prayers. They go out in the marketplace and they stand and they make an oratory out of it. I mean, they're just absolute great swelling words to impress the people. Now, listen to this. We need long prayers. We do long prayers in Trumpet of Truth. I have given my life, my ministry, is the word and prayer wrapped in Holy Spirit. Prayer is power. We're in partner with God and we watch God's hand move. And there's some things we pray about long and hard and intense. That's not a sin. Nobody sees us doing it. How about your intercessory prayer, 3 hours on your knees, crying out to God for your nation, for the church, for people, individually, personally, specifically, and nobody knows. That's a long prayer. So that's not what he's talking about. When they do it, so people will say, oh, what a holy person that is. So, when we pray long. We have prayer meetings over here, and I am praying for a way to have 1 hour every week for all of you in the radio and media who join our family to join me for a corporate prayer time each week. I know we're going to work that one out. So that's not what he's talking about. It's when you do it to be seen of men, and it's just saying words. When you pray, don't say, pray. pray is talking to God. It's not talking to people. And let the Holy Spirit do the talking, and your prayer will be perfect. He'll intercede for you with groanings, which cannot be uttered, that you pray according to Father's will. And you don't worry about it being pretty. You don't worry about it winning a speech award. You let the Holy Spirit do it, and it'll be perfect every single time.
Amen.
These shall receive greater damnation.
Why is that? Because judgment begins at the pulpit. To whom much is given, much is required.
41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury.
Okay, Jesus is through teaching, so he goes and sits down and watches how people give their tithes and offerings and vows. He just sits there and watches. You notice it didn't say that he was watching what they put in. Oh, that man put in 2 bars of gold. Oh, that man put in 5 chains of silver. Oh, look at the coins that person put in. Nope. He didn't look at what they put in. He was watching how they did it. 2 Corinthians 9, God loves a cheerful giving. Not because you ought to, not because you need to, not because it's the rule. God loves a cheerful giver. If you can learn when you get your tithe and vow and offering ready each time to give to God, to his storehouse, if you can learn by yourself to take it to him and praise him with him and worship him and thank him for this supply. Oh, thank you, Lord, you gave me more this week. I can give more to you for your work. And you worship him with it and you're so happy. Oh, praise God, I can give you more this week. The more I get, the more I can give. Don't you understand giving is the most fun of all things in this world?
Amen.
And you give cheerfully. He was watching how they gave. Did they give so people would be seeing them? How about people come up and say, I'm going to donate on worldwide television to your ministry. I'm going to give you $1,000 for your ministry. Worldwide. Wow, what a nice person. I almost say, just keep it, please.
And many that were rich cast in much. 42. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing.
That's less than 8% of a penny. And you don't even like your pennies, do it? We just kind of wish the pennies would go away. This is just 8% of a penny.
43. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury.
See, he watched how she did it.
44. For all they did cast in of their abundance.
They had plenty. They had plenty left over. I mean, it didn't hurt them. They weren't going to suffer.
But she, of her want, did cast in all that she had, even all of her living.
He said it twice for emphasis. In other words, somewhere this poor widow said, you know, I don't have enough to buy a cruse of oil or a bag of flour or some fresh beans to cook for me and my son. It's not enough. So I'm just going to give it all. I'm going to empty out my bank account and give it to God. God's law of reciprocity always kicks in. What you give out of a pure heart above your tithe comes back to you 30, 60, 100. We've already studied that in Mark, and 2 Corinthians tells us that. The Bible does not say this, but we know Jesus. I am convinced that when that widow went home, she had a cruse of oil that never went dry, and she had a barrel of flour that was never empty. And I believe a perpetual bunch of nice fresh beans to cook for herself. Jesus protects his elect. Jesus takes care of his own. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Let everything you do worship him, worshiping him, studying, praying, giving, witnessing, nothing for show, nothing for fame, nothing for fortune, but all out of a heart as pure as silver, a noble heart, a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God bless you. I hope you enjoyed that. And next week, don't miss Mark 13. Tell everybody you know, because we're going to get some signs of the end, and we're going to get to the seven seals and trumps and so forth. It's going to be beautiful. You don't want to miss it. Right now, it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to introduce you to the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, a man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. That was a great teaching tonight.
Thank you.
Good word, good word. Okay, our first question tonight. Did Messiah come through Solomon?
No, he did not, and that is a common belief because Solomon was so famous. No, as I said in the lesson, he came through Nathan. Nathan was David's son, so it was through David. I mean, through Nathan, that Messiah came.
Okay, and our next question tonight. Are the tares the naughty figs of Jeremiah 24?
Yes, the tares are the naughty figs of Jeremiah 24. Jeremiah 24, Jeremiah had a vision, two baskets of figs. One basket was really good and delicious, and one basket was a basket of deplorables. Hillary, basket of deplorables, and they were called naughty figs, naughty, naughty. God knows who's naughty or nice, all right? And so, of course, they are the tares, and that would be the descendants of Cain. Cain being the child of the evil one when Satan beguiled Eve there in the garden. Before too long, I'm going to teach you the book of Genesis from the first chapter to the last chapter. Genesis has got everything you ever need to know about anything in it, and we're going to cover that thoroughly for those of you who might be listening for the first time, so we'll get to that. Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day, when I make up my jewels, I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return, and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God, and him that serveth him not. Malachi 3.
That is so beautiful. Make up my jewels, and his jewels are God's elect. And you're not going to fold. You're going to let the Holy Spirit speak through you.
Amen.
I am about to pray for those of you who are sick, so get your sick loved ones and gather around. But first of all, let me pray the prayer of salvation. If you're not saved, pray this and mean it, and God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Ready? Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
And grow me in your word.
And grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To bless the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
To bless the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I accept Jesus.
I accept Jesus.
Amen. 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 Now, if you prayed that prayer, Scott, our announcer, is going to give you my end of this program. So get that telephone number and call him. Leave that message on my voicemail. Say your name very clearly, and I will pray for you. Now, let me pray for the sick. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, I ask that now the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in your wings. I ask that all of the flu symptoms be gone from everybody's body right now. The nausea, the congestion, the dizziness, the feeling of discomfort be gone. Stomach settle down, divine order, at ease in Jesus' mighty name. Pain in the legs be gone. Pain in the shoulders be gone. Migraine headaches be gone. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blood blood clots disintegrate, arteries open up, let there be perfect flow of the blood like it's supposed to be, bones be made strong, be made whole, all organs, pancreatic cancer, in the name of Jesus, I speak to pancreatic cancer, desist, stop, be gone, disintegrate, and where that where the pancreas is, let the healing virtue flow, rejuvenate, restore, I repair and heal, be healed in Jesus' name. He sent us word and heal pancreatic cancer right now. Cancer has no power here. In Jesus' name, be gone by the blood of Jesus. Be gone, pancreatic cancer. Pancreas, be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. We give you glory. Now, those of you who were touched, then you might like to also wait for Scott to give you my number and call me and let me know that you were healed. I want to especially thank Scott for his Scott stuff. We appreciate that. And Mystery Moment. And for being my new announcer, we appreciate that very much. Don't forget that everything that you get, you're supposed to give it away. It's not for you to keep, and God will give you more. Remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And Jesus says in John 17:17, Thy Word is truth. All of you invited each Sunday, 5 p.m. here at my school. We have this live radio broadcast, and you're invited to call me for prayer. We love you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord make you soul winners. Go out there and witness and bring some in. And I pray that the word you heard this day will bless your life forever. Love God and love mankind. And I love you. Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying, I love you. Thank you very much for listening. And I can't wait until next time when we get together, hear the joyful sound of the trumpet of truth. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
Hey lonely, hey sad eyes, hey you who need some sunshine. All you gotta do is open up the blinds. Hey worry, hey heartache, help is not that far away, yeah. Just open up your eyes. He'll be there every time.
Right where you belong. So when you're all out of heart and out of hope. when my heart runs dry, there's no song to sing, no holy melody, no words of love within. I recall the high from which this fragile heart has slipped, and I remember I will turn back and do the things I used to do for the love of you. Lord, I remember you. I will turn back and do the things I used to do for the love of you. When my heart runs dry, there's no song to sing, no holy melody, no words of love within. I recall the heart from which this fragile heart slipped, and I remember you. I will turn back. You are the hope within. You bring my heart to life. You make my spirit sing. I recall the heart from which this fragile heart was slipped, and I remember you. I will turn back. Thank you.
Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station. Your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
Your grace amazes me. Your grace. else could I say? What else could I do? I stand in awe. Where else could I go?
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's here, where your blood was spilled. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down.
You're listening to W.